Hey everybody, welcome to Game Goose. Today is October 14th, 2020. This is Season 3, Episode 11. My name is Dan Curry. I hope we're all having a great day out there. Clinton, how are you over there?
I'm very, very well today. After working very, very long yesterday, I had most of the day off today, so.
Nice.
Nice reprieve from the mayhem of yesterday.
Nice. Neil, how are you?
I'm doing good. I've got my sweatpants on. I've got my nice baggy Henley or little hoodie on, and you look so uncomfortable in a button-up shirt, Dan.
I came home from work. I had a really long day at work. We had an early meeting, and I worked on like a really long project, and then I started working on a second project I've been working on for a long time, and I came home and I fell asleep. And I woke up and I was like eating cereal and Neil was like, "You ready for the podcast?" I was like, "I forgot." So that's why I'm still in all
your work digs.
So, I'm glad to hear everyone is doing well. All my work digs. We're working on a policy for a high profile athletic individual in our area. I don't want to like give people's like information out, but so that was our big project today. What have you guys been playing?
The Iron Sheik, professional wrestler.
The Iron Sheik, professional wrestler, right
is
here.
Is he Lansing based?
He's from Lansing, yeah.
Is he? Yeah. I did not know that. What have you guys been playing?
I just got done playing a few hours of Mass Effect 2.
What?
Oh,
yeah.
That's out of nowhere.
I bought EA Play so I could play Titanfall 2. Did I tell you guys about that? Was that last week?
No.
Okay, so I bought Titanfall 2.
You couldn't wait for it to become free?
No.
Next month?
It's not next month. It's December. And it's $5, Dan. It's not like I'm breaking the bank.
That's fair.
But yeah, I got EA Play sometime this week, last week, somewhere in there. And played through Titanfall 2, the campaign. It's a shit ton of fun. It's so much fun. It's very disappointing, though, because it's like 4 hours long. So,
yeah, it's not very long. That's not too bad for me, you know, like, I like it pretty short.
Got him.
You liked it.
No, it was a lot of fun. The wall running and the all of it. It was good. It was very good. There was one gun that I found really early that I really liked and had a lot of fun using, but then after like the second level, that gun just didn't exist anymore. So that was kind of a bummer.
Which gun was that?
I don't know.
Huh. I'm trying to think of what
it's like. It's like a cross between a like SMG and a sniper rifle. It's like halfway in between. It's like got a scope on it, and it shoots faster than the sniper rifles.
Gotcha. Yeah, it might have been like what's the one that you guys like? The 301 in Apex.
Yeah, but isn't it the 101?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, I think that's probably what it is.
That's everywhere. That's like the standard assault rifle.
Yeah. So,
but yeah, that game is a lot of fun. The mech fighting is actually my least favorite part of it. I had way more fun doing the wall running and like the platforming kind of stuff. And I just enjoyed the guns and stuff, the combat as like the small guy more than the big guy.
I liked them both.
They're just completely different. They're so different.
Totally.
Yeah.
I found myself like it would give me a new robot to use, and I would just be switching back to the first one. Like I just like the basic guy with the Gatling gun and the missiles.
I like the sword one.
See, I use the sword guy too, because in a game where I was used to moving so fast and free, I tried to replicate the same thing in my giant mech. Yeah, and he's like the fastest guy who can dash around.
Is he okay? Yeah, I don't know. I like the sword guy. I used the shotgun sword guy for a while. I liked the second one that was you'd shoot like three times, shoot him three times, it would lock onto him, and then it would launch a barrage of missiles. I really liked that one. And I didn't really use the other ones all that much. I tried to use the flamethrower one, but I thought it was kind of just like meh.
Yeah, I didn't like the flame one.
But yeah, no, the like running and jumping and like wall running and all of that.
And just becoming invisible and just like showing up behind people and wrecking them.
I didn't I actually didn't use that much either.
Oh, like, I use that all the time.
But the one thing that like the one enemy that always killed me, I don't think another enemy ever killed me, but the one that killed me every single time and killed me a lot were the dumb bomb spiders.
Those are the most annoying things.
I don't think a single other thing killed me. Other than the ticks, like
the quick, small, agile kind of suicide units are always the most annoying thing in any game.
Well, I would just
they're
like
just especially agile in that game.
Yeah, it would be like running around, like shooting people and stuff, and then the like little icon would show up, and it'd be like, "There's one behind you," and I turn around, and there's seven of them there, and they all explode. I'm just like, "God damn it!" And it happened like probably like 8 or 9 times.
The level I died the most in was the one where you're kind of at the end. I think you're waiting for extraction. You have to like survive for a certain amount of time, and they just like pour them in.
Yeah,
like you really had to like because if you shot one of them, you could get them like chain reaction explode. But if you missed them and they got close to you, you were kind of done for.
Yeah,
yeah, I had a problem with those guys as well.
But yeah, today I downloaded Mass Effect 2 and I've been playing through that. I don't know how long I'll play it. This I mean
that's
it's
a long fucking game.
Yeah, it's exactly what I remember. And nothing in the story has like caught me yet.
Isn't 2 considered to be the worst one, or is it 3 to everyone? I mean, I know Andromeda is supposed to be the worst one, but I mean out of the original trilogy.
I don't know. I really like 2, so
I think 2's one of the better ones. 3 gotcha. Starts as with all EA kind of games, 3 starts to is as far as it gets away from its RPG elements, it kind of just turns into a third person shooter, where I think 2 had a good mix.
Gotcha.
Yeah, there's a lot of RPG things going on so far anyways. But
it
yeah,
looks like there's going to be a Mass Effect trilogy remaster here soon.
Nice. That's it's not late. Surprising.
Couple of companies have accidentally posted it for sale and been like, "Oops."
Yeah. But yeah, that game's fun. I've been playing a bit of it here and there today. I've played a bit of Overwatch today. They're doing their Halloween event, which is always fun. I like the Halloween event. There's a new Brigitte skin where she's like stone, made out of stone, which is really cool. She looks super badass. I don't know. Beyond that, I have not played any League. I made a joke last week when we were playing that if we lost this game, I was going to uninstall it. And we got trounced, so I uninstalled it. And just earlier, reinstalled it, was going to play. And then Neil was like, "Hey, we have to podcast." I was like, "All right, that's going on."
I'm glad I sent that text.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally forgot. I kind of, my brain was like, we did that yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, beyond that, I haven't really done too much. I've just kind of been trying to find something that's caught
my... We did see you playing The Sims the other day.
Yeah, I played it for all... I downloaded it and opened it, made a character, got into the house, and was like, I don't want to do this at all. And I uninstalled it. But yeah, no, that's how it's been with a lot of games. I went through and like cleared out my computer. My computer was like getting full. I went through and uninstalled probably 12 games, and then I've just been looking through everything else. Nothing sounds interesting or fun, so I've just been kind of floating around trying to find something. I've been wanting to play a shooter because I played Titanfall 2 and had a shit ton of fun playing it, but it was 4 hours and it was done, and I was like, I don't want to play the multiplayer because everyone's going to be playing it. It's just going to be...
really good.
Yeah.
And
stuff.
And let's try Doom Eternal.
Yeah.
He doesn't like Doom. I don't like Doom. We talked about this last week.
Yeah, but so. I think 2 is a lot different than 1. There's a little more strategy to 2, I think. You don't think so?
2 is so... You played like 2 hours of 2. 2 is...
Yeah, but with like all the... like going through like the tutorial aspect with like the way that you kill enemies gets you different things and all that.
Yes, but that just means they can throw enemies at you faster and harder, and you need to know what to do quicker. And those, I think those were your criticisms last week.
What? No, I liked it.
No, not you.
Oh, Clint. Yeah. Clint. Gotcha. I was like, oh, okay.
But yeah, I've just been trying to find something that's caught my interest, and I've been busy. I've been at work a lot, so nothing is really... I haven't had time to get into anything, and everything I've gotten into just hasn't held my interest at all, so I've just been kind of bopping around trying to find something, anything that sounds fun. And I just want to play Divinity or I want to play like something like that too, but like it's hard to get everyone together and do it.
Yeah,
especially when at work.
I was in the same boat as you, Clinton, and I was bopping around. And we're going to talk about this later. We'll talk about roguelikes, but I was talking about there's so many roguelikes, and I love roguelikes. But I was just at like I'm in the middle of a couple, and I don't want to start another roguelike. I want to just like a game that I can play and I can finish and then just constantly move forward. So I was like, I'm really in the mood for an RPG. So I started up Final Fantasy VII, got through the tutorial like area, or like got to the point where you get to the final boss of the tutorial, and right before that, in the screen before him, there's a save point. And I'm like, oh right, save points in RPGs. That was like an old thing. So I go to do it, and it goes, and it was like, hey, to save the game, go to the menu and press save. And I was like, oh, okay. So they're still there, but they know it's like on a newer console. They're just telling you to go to the menu. So I go to the menu and save is grayed out. And I'm like, oh, it must have just auto-saved or something. So I go to the next screen, get trounced by the boss, and it kicks me all the way back to the title screen. No continue option. And I've been playing for like 45 minutes. I'm like, well, done with Final Fantasy VII.
That happened to me too. I was playing Ace Attorney last night, actually, or two nights ago, and got pretty far through one of the cases. I was like in the court trial, alt-tabbed out to something, and when I alt-tabbed back, the game crashed. And I had played like 45 minutes through this trial, and I was just like, I really do not want to do that again. So I just like, I was like, I'm done.
It's the worst. Especially because I was like, I think this is the game. Like, I was like, I think this is the one.
Yeah.
So then there was another RPG looking game that I kind of been going through, and I start to play it, Children of Morta. I start to play it, and I go, uh-oh, this is starting to feel really roguelike.
I played that game a while ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I look in the description, it was like a roguelike where you play it. And I was like, oh, no.
No.
So I quit that. And then I found a game that was I had no idea what it was. And it just was one of the featured games. And I was like, I'll just boot this up. It's a small game called Eichenfell. And that's the game that hooked me. So stop me if you've heard this one. A magical school for witches and wizards. There is a groundskeeper with scraggly hair and a big beard, and there's also a wizard with golden or with like emerald robes who's everyone thinks is the greatest in the world, but he's really a fraud. It is very ripoff of Harry Potter, but it's really good. So you are the sister of someone who's a witch. You haven't heard from her. It's like the summer. She hasn't called. She hasn't come back. So you go to find her. These spirits confront you in the woods, and you are an ordinary, which is basically like a muggle. And you fight them, and you can just throw rocks at them because you can't do anything else, so they whoop you. So they're telling you got to get out of the forest, and suddenly you have magic. You have fire magic. So you go, and you're trying to find your sister. All this weird stuff is happening at the school. You get people. It's an RPG. There's a grid-based system that's very dumbed down. It's not like Divinity or anything like that. It's just a whole bunch of grids. It's like a long hallway that you fight in constantly. And the combat's actually like Paper Mario. So you pick an attack, and when you attack them, like an animation plays, and if you press A at the right time, you'll do more damage. And when they attack you, an animation plays, you press A at the right time, then you take less damage. Gotcha. So really kind of simple combat for the most part. Died a couple times, and but they either allow you to go back to your last save point, which they do have save points that are cats. There's a bunch of cats everywhere. Every time you pet a cat, it saves your game. And you can either try the battle over again or go back to your last save point are your two options when you lose.
Do you have a party, or is it just you?
Yep, you have a party. So I can't remember my name or anybody's name, honestly. But my character is like a fire character who's pretty fast. Then I got my sister's best friend. She's like an alchemist. She does like poison, and she does like healing and stuff like that. And then I just got my third, who's like this bookwormy guy who can place traps on the field. So if enemies step on them, they explode, and he can kind of do area of effect kind of stuff. So it's pretty cool. The story is neat. There's cool characters. The school's really big. So you kind of go like area by area. So I've gone through the dormitory, and now I'm going through the alchemy labs, and I haven't touched any much of the map at all. But it's fun. It's simple to just kind of jump in and play. There's a lot of representation in it. There's gay characters, and they're not like there just to be gay. Like they're just you know, gay people exist, you know.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool that there's just different take and a lot of strong women and people of color and stuff. So I don't think there's anybody I know, but besides maybe the groundskeeper, who's just like a straight white guy, but he's just kind of grumbly and moves vines around. But yeah, it's very, very much like a Harry Potter kind of thing. Oh, there's even the first area you actually go to is like a Hogsmeade. It's like a village outside of the school, and you get into the school by using a secret passage that your sister had. So very, very Harry Potter kind of themes. But it's made by Humble Games. And it's really fun. It's not like the best RPG I've ever played or anything groundbreaking, but it's fun to play something that's like Paper Mario in a world that doesn't have like a regular Paper Mario kind of thing. So I've been enjoying that.
Nice.
And then the other two games are games that Neil's played with me, but I'm going to let him talk more about this one. We both got Hades for Switch, speaking of roguelikes.
Well, I'm not going to talk about it until we get to... Well, it's really fun. We're going to do roguelikes. I'll talk about it.
Okay, you want to talk about it in the second part?
But we have started replaying Overcooked 2.
We didn't start. We finished replaying Overcooked 2.
It's true. It's not very long. We finished it.
Yeah, so we played Overcooked 2. We three-starred everything, and then Xbox was giving away the DLC for free, so we three-starred everything in that.
Nice.
And then we attempted to come back and start doing 4 stars and stuff, and that did not go well.
No, for getting 4 stars on like the very first level, we were stopped like 1-2 points shy on our maybe 5th attempt. It's crazy hard. But the game as a whole, it's just so much fun. It's just a fun little party game. They go fast. It's a trial of by communication and cooperation, making a plan, making the right plan, and then getting everybody to stick to it and not like panic or overhelp and screw somebody else up. It's a lot of fun.
It's so fun.
You've never played it. It's cheap too. I mean, you can couch co-op it. I wouldn't play it with less than 3 people, but you could play it too, but they're just so much fun.
It's so fun. My least favorite levels are the ones, like my favorite levels are where maybe we fail the first time and then we get like a good flow going and it's like very clear like what the plan is. My least favorite levels, because there's some levels where it's like, I don't think you could make a plan. You kind of just gotta hope. And usually the scores are pretty low. And it's like, I think the worst levels are when you are like, man, I don't think we can make a plan. We're kind of stumbling through this. And then you pass it with 3 stars. And you're like, that kind of sucked. It didn't feel good to do. And stuff like that. But the absolute worst part of the game is those freaking switches.
You're on like... Yeah, when you're going from World 1 to World 2, it's like an overworld, an over map, and you have to take your bus from one level to the next. And sometimes the next level...
And it's cute, and it's fun, whatever.
It's cute and fun and happy, and everything's dancing around and wiggling.
And it's like a little break from the chaos that is the actual game.
Yeah, but in getting there, sometimes the next level you need to go to is up on a ledge, a raised platform of some sort. And you can see this ramp, but the ramp hasn't been raised yet. So for no apparent reason, I guess because it's a kid's game and it's like an I Spy thing, you've got to drive around and find this button to raise the ramp, which has nothing to do with the actual game. And
it is very rarely any kind of difficult.
It's except for one switch that everybody on the internet had a problem with. It's actually pretty hard to find.
Because it's just kind of hiding behind a cliff.
That's the only thing I can explain in that game. But other than that, it's just fun, happy, and it was a good break from the competitive grind.
I didn't remember the switches or remember having a problem with that. I was thinking back, like, because the last time we played it was when we played through the whole thing during Extra Life. And I do remember now because I had control of the van and I would just hold you guys hostage and fuck around driving the van all
Yeah, they've changed it. There must have been an update where only one player one has control of the bus now. You can't you can't take it from people. You can now emote and you can make the cooks swear. That's a new thing too.
Yep. They get the little cartoon like exclamation point, ampersand, all that stuff.
Yeah. It's really fun. I could like it's like sometimes I get frustrated, but it's like fun frustration because you're like, God damn it, if we just would have done the one thing. Sometimes the controls can be a little tough on like you go to pick up something and you pick up something else and it can totally throw you off, but most of the time it's pretty good.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of other DLCs that we're considering getting. I kind of want to see like what the arcade modes are like, if there's like an endless to see how far we can go or what, because these 4 stars, I would like to do them, but I think it's going to be
I don't know struggle. If I want to put that much effort in for no reward.
Yeah, just to say you 4-starred, man.
To nobody, to you, I guess.
I'm sure you can get an achievement if you do it on each one.
But yeah, that was a lot of fun. I beat Doom 2, Doom Eternal. My rave review from last week stands. I won't put you all through it again. But it's might be, I think it's going to be my game of the year. Next to maybe Hades, which we'll talk about later. But the end just gets, the last 3 levels were even more doomy than the first 75% of the game. They throw so much at you, but they also give you so much to deal with it. The boss fights are actually really interesting, which is always my criticism of first-person shooters. It's one of the things I took away from it was, I mean, you are the Doom guy. You're not just a human if you know the story, which I don't really. You're they did something to you. You're also like part God. You're the Slayer or something. But they throw you up against these demonic, you know, hell spawns. Eventually, one as big as a skyscraper, and you never feel weak, but you also it's never easy. You never feel overpowered. And that I think is the biggest. That's the biggest compliment I can get it. I can give it. They just give you so much to deal with it. And if you think fast and you kind of know what works on who and how and where and when and why, you can just combo things so fluidly. It's just such a fun game. Play it. So good.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to try it. After I beat Titanfall, I was kind of the opposite of Clinton. Like, I was like, I don't know if I want to do another shooter. So it's definitely been put back on my list, but I've steered away from it. All right, we're going to move into our main topic this week, which we've talked a little bit about. And I'm sure you've heard us. We've talked so much about these kind of games. I thought we'd already done an episode on this, but we're going to talk about roguelikes.
We haven't talked that much about them. I don't know where you're getting this.
I don't know. I feel like we've played a lot.
Like, 4 days ago, hey, have we done roguelites? I was like, I'm sure we haven't. He's like, I'm sure we have. Look through all of our 200 episodes, Neil, just search roguelike, because our episode titles are never roguelikes. So I looked through 200 episodes and confirmed that, no, Dan, we have not talked about roguelikes. And then an hour before we're going to record this podcast, Dan says, are you sure we haven't talked about roguelikes?
I just felt like we had. It just seems so odd that we would leave that off. But anyway, and we've talked about quite a few. We've all played a few. If you haven't played a roguelike before, I'm sure you've heard us talk about them. Basically, it's a game where if you die, you're dead. And you go back to the beginning of the game and you have to try again. As you go through your playthrough, you usually collect items that makes your character stronger. And then somehow, usually there is some kind of overarching way to make your next run easier. Some kind of way to level up your character or give them new abilities or something like that. Some really popular ones are Enter the Gungeon, the new game that we'll talk about in a bit, Hades. What else is really, really really popular one?
I mean, we've been playing Risk of Rain, which is one. The Binding of Isaac is
Binding of Isaac. That's a very popular one, yeah.
And what was the one we played on Xbox? Probably, I don't know, sometime in the quarantine. It's all the melee weapons and Dead Cell. Dead Cells.
Oh, Dead Cells, yes.
Is also a roguelike. They're out there. And I think they're wonderful. You can dump a lot of time into them, or you can also just have something that's kind of no strings attached. You can jump in. It's much like a battle royale in that sense. You can jump in for a couple of rounds. When you're out, you're out. You know, there's no commitment really. And I think that's what's been attractive to me right now as I'm deep, deep, deep into Hades and also Risk of Rain, is the learning curve that goes on with them. Because the way these games stay interesting to the people who enjoy them, I know Clinton is not among us, learning what each item does, because a lot of roguelikes, the more and more I play them, the more recent ones are better at explaining what does what. The first two I played, Binding of Isaac especially, just gives you an item and you kind of got to guess. If you can't see what it is doing to your character or its attacks or something like that, you may well have no idea what this thing is and if it is helping it or hurting you. That's kind of how I was thinking about it today, and I compare them to, they're like my version of a deck building game.
Well, there's also literally a popular roguelike that we forgot that is a deck building game, Slay the Spire.
Yeah, that is a roguelike. You're right. But even if you're not holding a physical deck of cards, is what I mean. Not physical, but you know what I mean. It is fastening all these things to your character and trying to get them to interact with each other in helpful ways, in ways that make sense. Like in Hades, there's you are the lord of the underworld, and throughout your runs, you meet the gods of Olympus, Artemis, Poseidon, Zeus, Aphrodite, Ares, and a bunch of other ones. Like all the big gunners are there. And all of Poseidon's boons are water based and have usually this effect called it's just knockback. It moves enemies further away from you. So it's knowing like, okay, I'm using maybe the sword in this round, so I have no range. I need to be very close to people. I don't want to be talking to Poseidon if I can help it, because he's just going to make my enemies further away from me. Whereas like if I have the bow, I'm like, hey, maybe I want to get a Poseidon boon up in this piece, and I can make sure that nobody gets close to me. I can keep everybody at range. So it's trying to find the synergies throughout, you know, failure and failure and failure, and doing a little better each time.
Yeah. I think the interesting thing, well, I mean, most roguelikes don't really have like a lot of story. There's usually like lore that you can find throughout. But if you just play the game, you won't find anything. I think the interesting thing with Hades is they found a way to throw a story on there.
Yeah.
Which I think is why it's so popular. It's kind of like almost like kind of a turn in roguelikes. But I like them for the same reason. Like when Clinton was saying, and we've talked about like not being able to find a game to play, they're really nice to pick up, because you're like, you know, Risk of Rain is so hard and there's never really a way to beat it. That you can just play a couple. Same with like Enter the Gungeon. I know there is a way to beat that, but it's so difficult. It seems so out of reach that you just try and see how well you can do. So they're fun. There's usually, I think the weird thing about roguelikes is that as most games get harder as you play, roguelikes tend to get easier as you play. Because you start off and your character has nothing and you know nothing about the items, you know, and you'll just get stomped like in the first level, and you have to be like, all right, I guess I'm going to try that again, and then keep doing it until eventually your character gets stronger, or they give you something, or you start to understand a little bit better about what everything does, so you can get kind of like that lucky run and get through. I really enjoy that. I think the fun thing about roguelikes as well is it's a really broad genre. Like talking about Slay the Spire, which is a deck building game, to Risk of Rain, which is like a third person like ability shooter, to Hades, which is like a slasher. They're all roguelikes, but you can play with that genre a lot in the middle.
I think Binding of Isaac and Gungeon to a much higher degree are both kind of bullet hells. which I'm much worse at. I enjoy the world of Gungeon a lot, and I've done a lot of runs, and I don't mind dying, but I've only gotten to the final boss. I think you have to go down 4 or 5 layers. I forget how many dungeons there are. I've gotten to the final boss twice, and I haven't gotten past maybe a third of his health.
Oh, yeah, I haven't even gotten that far. Gungeon's one of those games. Like,
it's so hard.
Yeah.
And it's where I would compare Hades to a deck-building game, same as Risk of Rain. You get... Actually, Risk of Rain should be random, but it's not. In Hades, you can kind of... At the end of each dungeon room, you can kind of pick what you want to go to. You might not know what offerings you're going to get from which god, but you know what their overall shtick is, so you can kind of build around what you expect to get. Whereas Gungeon, you might not get a gun in the first chamber. You might have to fight the first boss with your basic gun, or yeah. you might have unlocked a gun that you really didn't want in a previous run, and now it just shows up all the time, and you've got a shit gun, so you know why have it at all? It's much more random. You're much more helpless if you don't, you know, praise the RNG gods. If you don't get what you need, you're not gonna go far.
Yeah,
I think Hades kind of circumvents that and gives you at least a little agency.
Yeah, each roguelike has like a different level of randomness. Like, I think Enter the Gungeon is probably the most random. There's really not much of a way to ever steer your character in any direction. Where Risk of Rain, you open these chests and everything's random, but at times you'll have options to trade things, something that you might want.
Yeah.
So, and then, you know, Slay the Spire at the end of every level. You can, I don't know if you lost me or if I'm back. I was going to say, it's doing much better.
No, you were doing good. You broke up for a second. But yeah,
I don't think you broke up. I think it, like, stopped, and then it, like, played you in double speed.
Gotcha. But yeah, so, like, on the end of Slay the Spire, when you beat a level, it gives you, like, you can't decide what card to get specifically, but it'll give you a choice of 3. So then you can kind of build that way. So... yeah, it depends on how random things are. Hades at the end of each, like you said, at the end of each level, you can have a choice. So, but for the most part, you know, Risk of Rain, you have to, if you want to know the story or anything, you have to like pick up these logbooks and you have to go to the menu and like read through.
There's no spoken word. Yeah, same with Gungeon.
Do you remember when we played Wizard of Legend, Dan?
Yes,
that's a pretty good one too. So that one, like, you are in a tournament, like an ancient tournament of wizards, and as you play through it, you can collect different cards and stuff through the playthrough, and then once you die, you lose everything that you got in the playthrough, but you get, like, you collected gems or something, and then once you go back to, the base area, you can buy things with your gems that you can take in, so eventually, yeah, you end up way stronger than you were previously. And there's like a bunch of different.
I remember playing that game. I couldn't tell you anything about it. I don't know why.
Because it's a standard roguelike. I mean,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
The exact same as every other roguelike.
Yeah. Yeah, but they're pretty fun. I think the coolest thing about Hades and the thing thing I don't like about it is because they're doing a story, there is a little less randomness. So in Slay the Spire, in Gungeon, when you get to a boss, there's just a random boss. You never really, there could be like level 1 might have 3. And I think Hades is changing this a little bit, so you have to correct me if I'm wrong. But Hades, especially the first few runs at least, your first boss is always the same, your second boss is always the same, and your worlds are the same. Like the same in Risk of Rain, when you hit the teleport, it takes you to the next world. You have like just an option, like there's kind of a roll of the dice of what world you're even going to get. So Hades got a little frustrating to me. I still really like it, but because when you die, you start to do the same thing again. But what that does allow them to do is there's really cool features that the NPCs that you talk to and your character reacts to how you died and what you've done. So I was dying to the first boss a lot and I came back and then like, so Hades, you know, you're the son of Hades and you're trying to escape the underworld. Hades like taunted me that I couldn't get past the first boss. Then I died to the second boss quite a bit. And when I got to him, my character's like, oh, I hate this Hydra. Like they react to what you do. And that's really cool. That's not something I've ever seen in a roguelike before. And for how many times I've died and how many times I've played through, I think I've done like 20 some runs when I looked at the pool. I haven't heard a single line of dialogue repeated. Every time I get to the first boss, she says something completely different to me. Every time I die and come back, Hades says something different to me. And you can pet the dog.
There you go. Cerberus is there.
And you can pet him.
Headed monster. Yeah, I mean, Hades can really rest its laurels on that. I mean, I'm at 60 runs, and I have not heard repeat dialogue at all. The only thing I can say is, like, a lot of the mini-bosses are starting to get just, like, really short introductions before the fight, just, like, little quips, and then we fight, whereas it used to be longer paragraphs and interactions. But, no, it's, and even the gods, not every time you get a boon from a god, but, about half the time they'll actually tell you something or have an interaction with you.
Have you had the gods start to, have you found like a god that you liked and you continually pick them? Have you had them start to change what they say to you, like be more favorable, and then have other gods comment on it?
Yeah.
Yeah. That is super cool. I just wanted to make sure, cause that was happening to me. And then I liked one god, and then I kind of realized, like, I don't know if I like this thing. And I started switching. And she started, like, next time it was Aphrodite. And the next time I picked her, she was like, I haven't seen you in a while. I thought we had something special. And I was like, this game is like, really keeps up with how you play. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's I can't imagine the coding that went into, like, all these different circumstances.
Well, because someone said when it was coming out and I started to get interested, somebody interested in it, someone was like, it's like Bastion meets a roguelike meets a dating sim. And I was like, what? And now, like, I kind of played. I'm like, oh, it kind of does. Like, when you talk to one character more, they start to like you more, and you can give them gifts. The whole gift-giving thing.
Yep. And you can romance three characters in the game.
Oh, I did not know that part. I haven't gotten that far.
You can. Well, I just saw that online. You can romance Thanatos Death. He's essentially the Grim Reaper. The Grim Reaper... the first boss you fight, Meg, which is interesting, and Medusa, or not Medusa, Dusa.
Dusa.
This little floating Gorgon snakehead. But yeah, play that game if you haven't. It's the story is fantastic. The interactions are great. The dialogue's written well. What was the other thing I was going
to say? For Switch and PC, by the way. That's all. You can get it on right now. So.
And it's been out for like a year or so.
No, Hades?
No, I think it just came out. It just came out of
was it a beta access. A year ago?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You've been playing it for a while.
It just came
Ed
out.
Ed Bundy's been Switch following it for years.
Yeah. it just came out on Switch. I think when 1.0 came out.
And you can see a lot of Bastion in it if you have played Bastion. The art style is very similar.
And the weapons are similar.
And having an overarching narrator that your character can somehow hear the narrator, and he kind of talks to him, and he knows when he's being insulted and stuff, and it's pretty fun.
Yeah, the writing's really good.
But no, Dan, I don't want to spoil the game for you, but the bosses, there's three variations of each boss. You're already seeing that with...
the first boss.
With the first one. She has two sisters that eventually show up, and the Bone Hydra will have two other variations of it. Eventually, like, every time you fight a boss, it says at the top of it, like, Meg, the daughter of Titans, or, like, there's a Bone Hydra that's, like, the Lyrian Bone Hydra, and eventually your character goes, your name is way too hard to say, can I just call you Lerny? Let's call you Lerny. And then you kill him, and it says, Lerny Slade, and the next time you show up, Lerny comes up before you fight him, and they...
That's pretty cool. Yeah, it's a really cool game. The way they kind of have turned roguelikes to have like a little less randomness in order to have like an actual story that you can care about. And
yeah,
it makes sense.
The whole story is I won't tell you why you're trying to get out, but you're trying to get out. And of course, you fight Hades. Your dad is keeping you in hell. He is the final boss. After you beat him 10 times is kind of when you've officially beaten the game. Or when you will have most of the story under wraps.
Gotcha.
I think I'm at like 6. They do a really interesting thing too. After you've beaten it, they change the portal where you go, where you start your runs. And usually you get rewards for beating bosses the first time with 6 different weapons. Each weapon, after you do it, you would get that reward. Then they give you this contract list that's all things that that up the difficulty by a factor of either 1 or 2. And they give you like this heat gauge. So like I've been going through with all the weapons with just 1 of those activated. And now I can get all the rewards again and like strengthen my character and my weapons. And that can go up to like 34 or something. But yeah, that's been really interesting. I mean, there's things like give all bosses an ally, give all bosses a new move you've never seen before. Give all enemies have like a one-time hit barrier before you can hit their health. And there's like 20 different things you can pick from. But it's interesting that you can kind of raise the difficulty rather than them just saying, this is hard mode. It's that, you know, pick and choose like based on what you think you'll be good at and like what weapon you're using, what damage or what difficulty modifiers do you think you can actually handle?
Nice. Yeah, that game is really cool. I think that's going to be a game that future roguelikes look at for sure to try to make it more interesting. Because after playing Hades, someone said, if you like roguelikes, don't play this game because it'll make you hate every other roguelike. I don't think it's done that quite for me because I love Slay the Spire. I don't think you could ever make me. Slay the Spire is a little different though because every deck building game is roguelike in some way, even if you were playing a physical one. I like that, and I like Risk of Rain a lot too as well, but I think that's just because of the multiplayer aspect. But it is just a really interesting thing. Another roguelike comes out, people are gonna be like, well, this one doesn't have a story, like every time I die someone doesn't talk to me about what happened. But yes, I think it's really going to be a game that other roguelikes and just other games in general look back on. I mean, heck, there's some RPGs that don't react to you as well as this roguelike does.
Yeah, absolutely. And now, Clinton, give us your criticism.
Why does it have to be me? I'm not a huge fan of roguelikes. I don't know. They don't hold anything special for me. I have played a handful here and there, and none of them have really caught me and kept my interest. And I think it's mostly just because it is kind of like you start, and we talk about this all the time, like how I look at games and the progression of games. You start super weak, and then, yeah, as you go along, you get stronger, and it makes things easier, so you get farther to get to the harder things, and then it's the repetitive of the early kind of restarts just don't hold me enough to get me kind of into that later kind of where things are more, I think, how they want the game to be. I think the early bits of it always kind of lose me before I can get to that later bit where the game actually really comes into its own. And like playing things over and over and over just really doesn't hold any kind of, I don't know, charm for me in the way, like in a, because I mean there are games that I play that are the same in essence, the same every time. Like League of Legends is the exact same game every time I play it, but like
playing competitiveness
against,
to that,
yeah, though. Playing against different people makes it different. Or like Overwatch is just Overwatch, but like you're playing against different people and how they react and do different things really changes how the game feels. But yeah, I don't know, I've never really fallen into one and haven't had one like really catch me and made me want to play it a bunch.
I think roguelikes in general are something that I always, like, if people ask me for, like, what game should I play or whatever, I always shy away from recommending roguelikes. Unless, like, someone, you know, has already liked or enjoyed a roguelike.
Yeah.
Because I think they are really, really hit and miss. Like, yeah, I can't imagine.
There are good ones. There's ones that I've played that I've enjoyed. Like, I've played Deep Rock Galactic. Probably 12 hours of that game, and I really enjoy it. I have a lot of fun playing.
Oh, is that a roguelike?
It's definitely a roguelike. You go in, everything's procedurally generated, you do the same kind of, there's like 6 different types of missions, you go in, it's all procedurally generated, you either finish it, complete it, and get some extra stuff, or you fail and you get like half as much or whatever, and then you come back and you can upgrade your guys, and then you go back out again, do the same 6 procedurally generated different kinds of missions. And it's a lot of fun. I mean, the gameplay of that really kind of did it for me in that way, not necessarily the roguelike aspects of it. I really enjoyed kind of digging around and mining things and just being mm-hmm. a angry space dwarf was more of the draw for me than the kind of mechanics of like going out, doing the same thing over and over, coming right. back, upgrading. Like, I don't know. It just doesn't have a lot of the, like, I don't enjoy like late game MMO stuff. Like doing the same right. raids over and over and over doesn't do anything for me.
It's a grind.
Yeah. Yeah.
From square one, it is a grind.
Yeah.
See, I can get with you on that late game MMO thing. I just think for me, the roguelikes are different because, like, when you get to the late game MMO, it feels like you're done with the game. Like, or like Destiny or anything like that.
Yeah, you kind of play through it. You're not done with the game. Like, that's like.
Right. Well, for some people, but you know what I mean? That's how I always feel. It's like,
It's also like different in the way of like late game MMO stuff is you're running the same exact right. instance over and over. Whereas roguelike, it's procedurally generated. It's going to be different every time. Mm-hmm. The level's going to lay out different. The enemies you're going to run into are different and stuff. So it is like, it's not like it is the exact same thing over and over where,
but it has that same feel for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I get it. That's exactly why, and they can be really unforgiving at the beginning, I believe, for a lot of people. So it's like I could get.
So I think it's, the first roguelike I played, the progression of so many of them seems very stunted in the beginning, where it is kind of like everything is super overwhelming and difficult, and like you might get one thing to make it a little bit easier, and then you go in again, and like you get a little bit farther, but then it's like the same thing, where it's just like, okay. Well, I died 3 minutes later than I did last time. I didn't really get much more than I did. So, like, I know the next 2, 3, 4 times I play, I'm just going to die kind of at the same spot. Like, I just have to keep doing it over and over. It just doesn't, I don't know, doesn't do it for
me. I think the other thing I like about it. Oh, sorry.
What's that? What
I said I've been conditioned to love death. Yeah. And the thrill of revenge.
Yeah. They kind of remind me of old, like, playing my like Sega Genesis and just dying and being like, game over, back to the beginning, except for there is like a promise of doing better next time.
Yeah.
With my character being better, where when I died in the freaking stampede in The Lion King, there was nothing that was going to make me better the next time. I was just at the beginning and playing through those 4 levels over and over and over because I was 7. I couldn't get past that stampede.
Yeah. So. No, I mean, maybe it is just a symptom of my, like, I don't know, frustration. Like, being easily frustrated just doesn't, I get frustrated easily. I mean, like, that is just who I am. So, like, and when I get frustrated, I don't do better. Like, I obviously do worse. So, like.
And that's right. Clint gets frustrated easily. I get bored really quick.
Yeah.
We all have our things.
What's my thing?
You're just not funny.
You know. Okay, that's it. Okay, nailed it. Got it in one.
Just nothing to do with this video game. You know, the thing is, I don't like roguelikes because I get frustrated easily. Dan doesn't like long RPGs because he gets bored easily. And Neil, you're just ugly.
Neil's in the cabinet.
Neil, you're just ugly, you know? That's not true.
Yeah.
You're funny. You're just not as funny as me or Dan, you know? That's right.
Yeah, you.
Hey, I'm fine with that.
I think also Hades is kind of the first roguelike that's kind of, I mean, it's definitely not a AAA game, but it's kind of in that AA studio area where most roguelikes are just like indies, you know?
Yeah.
For sure. But yeah, I mean, if you're interested in that kind of stuff, if you're interested in card games, definitely check out Slay the Spire, because that's a good entry point if you're a card player, which is how I got into them.
Slay the Spire is a lot of fun.
Yeah,
I really enjoy Slay the Spire.
Yeah, that's on Game Pass. You can also get it on your phone for $10. You know, if you've played like like a Hearthstone or Magic or anything like that. It's kind of a very simple, more simple version of that, where you have a character that has like special cards and you try to get through and you can unlock different cards and super fun. That's probably how I first got into roguelikes and started to understand. Because I think the first roguelike I actually played was Spelunky. And I was like, I don't get this. Like, what am I supposed to be doing? And then once I played Slay the Spire, I was like, oh, I'm supposed to be like unlocking things so that when I try again, it's better. I think that's a good entry point for anybody who likes cards and RPGs as well, because it's kind of like a turn-based RPG, but it uses cards. And it's more slow-paced, like Enter the Gungeon or Hades or any of these things are going to be a lot at once, where you can kind of sit back and understand Slay the Spire a little better.
Yeah, I really liked, I think one of the reasons I didn't stick with the first one I played was Binding of Isaac. My roommate in college played it a whole bunch. And it was one of the only games I could run on my college MacBook, because I mean they still don't make a lot of games for Mac, but that was one of the few. That was another one. Number one, it was kind of bullet hell-y, and I certainly hadn't played a bullet hell at that point, but it was also obviously on my laptop, and I've never been a WSAD keyboard click shoot. That's never been in my repertoire. So I was also not very good at it. I think you only had to. I think the game goes forever, but there is a certain point where you can, like, I don't know, you go to hell and you kill your mother. That's the whole thing. You're running from your mother, which is a terrible woman. And, like, oh, it's this weird, like, macabre art style, and, like, every like, boon or power up you find like affixes to yourself, but it's also, it always looks unpleasant. Like, I think you can get like a tumor attached to your head that like doubles your bullets. Your tumor shoots a bullet at the same time you shoot a bullet, and it's really gross, and there's like poop everywhere. It's an interesting game, but it was also not really my cup of tea. Then I think Gungeon was the one I found next. And that one's obviously totally different, but they throw so many bullets at you. That was my first introduction to like a real, like, difficult bullet hell. Yeah, and then,
yeah, Gungeon's one of the hardest games I've ever played.
Yeah, I'm always surprised when I get past like even the second boss, and I think the last one is five.
Yeah.
But yeah, another game that I don't mind failing at from time to time.
Yeah, it's a good pick up and play. Which I think most roguelikes are, so. Accidentally muted myself. Well, any other thoughts on roguelikes before we say goodbye today?
The name roguelike comes from the 1980s game Rogue, by the way. Which we've not played, but just so you know.
Yeah.
It's one of, like Metroidvania is.
Or Souls-like.
Or Thief-like.
Or, yeah.
Yeah.
They're all they're all based on.
Wait, what's another thief like?
I don't know. I'd have to Google it.
Okay, I've never heard the term thief like. I tried to play the original Thief once, and I was bad at it. I think I was too young.
I wasn't a huge fan of it. I kind of thought like, oh, cool, I like being a thief in Elder Scrolls.
That's exactly how I came at it. It is not bad.
No, it's not bad at all. So, all right. Well, thank you so much. Oop. That's not my goodbye. That's me looking at new computers. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Come back. See us again next week. If you're interested in D&D, that is Dungeons and Dragons, you can check us out on Monday. I believe every other Monday. Kind of. I know their schedule's a little weird right now because we got a friend that's deep in politics and the election coming up. Speaking of that, get ready to vote. But anyway, Monday, you can check them out here. Are you doing 7:30?
7, I believe.
Okay, yep.
We might also be playing board games instead, if we're not. I don't know. It's kind of been around in the air, floating around when people have time, if we can get enough people together. But
yeah. So check out some roguelikes if you have, and tweet at us. What are your favorite roguelikes? You can tweet us at Party Foul Games, which is the name of our network. This is Party Foul Production. Oh, also, Neil, who does our theme song? We haven't given them a shout-out in a minute.
Have we added the theme song to anything?
I don't know.
I don't think it's been. Okay.
Yeah, it's at the beginning of every episode. The theme song is by, I mean, It's by my brother-in-law, Matt, and Dennis. Matt composed it. Dennis made it electronic. I think it's actually, my brother-in-law is a musical therapist, and it's, the song is like the hero's journey, and you use it to like get kids to like, I'm a knight and I'm going to fight. And you get them to like dance and move and interact with you so you can like therapize them. That's where it came from.
Gotcha. Well, thank you to Matt and Dennis for that. I just realized we hadn't shouted out to him in a while. So
I hadn't been putting it on anything since we started streaming. So
It's been on all the podcast and YouTube videos since I've started editing it.
Well, good. No, that's not true. I guess I did put it at the beginning of some of the YouTube videos a while back, but somewhere along the way I must have forgotten about it. Because when you just said that, I was like, wait, oh yeah, there is.
All right, anything you guys got to say before we leave?
We can start playing at the beginning of on the Twitch stream.
We have the rights to it.
It's up on our Gmail.
Yeah. All right, we'll see you guys next week.
Bye. I thought you